Welcome to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast. This month, we're exploring a special series called Made on Purpose for a Purpose, where we uncover how God intentionally created each of us for His unique mission, a mission that includes sharing the hope of the gospel with the world. Join us as we discover what it means to live out our God-given purpose in everyday life. And now, here's today's message.
Our scripture passage today is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. So please open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You may also choose to follow along on the sermon notes handout or the words on the screen. At the end of the reading, I will state, "This is the word of the Lord." If you could please respond with, "Thanks be to God." Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, what a delight to be back with you. My name is Jordan Rendell, and again, as you've heard before, I'm not one of the pastors here, but I am one of the ministers here, and so are you. Now, we've been working through a series on missions, so let's start by doing a bit of a recap.
Previously on Made on Purpose for a Purpose.
Thank you to Nick Grandy for that. I warned him a couple days ago, "Nick, did you know you're speaking at church this morning?" He's like, "What?" But he did. Previously on Made on Purpose for a Purpose, he designed us for mission. Our first Sunday together during the Now What month, also known as Missions Month, we talked about Peter walking on the water and accepting Jesus as his Savior and as his Lord, the Lord who is willing to walk with us over the waves, into the wind, on top of our fears. And we also talked about Jesus as our sender. It was so electric seeing Peter and Jesus walking together still in the storm that the 11 disciples in the boat could not help but think, "I wish that was me. I wish I'd been brave enough to say, 'If it's you, call me out of the boat.'" Do you remember what their faces looked like? Shocked and amazed. And that's what our neighbors should look like as they look in at our lives. Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. And as we said last week, he is also our commissioning officer. If Captain J. de Guzman asked you to do something, would you say, "When I get around to it"? I don't think so. We would hop to it. Jesus gave us the great commission, go into all the world and make disciples. And we were reminded on Remembrance Day last week that the great commission is not the great suggestion. The primary message from last week was that we walk together in unity and in harmony for the sake of the mission of God. They will know we are Christians by our love for one another, walking together in Christ. Now, this verse I'd like to share with you now is the verse that I was praying for last week's service. Hear it now as my heart's cry for us as a church, from 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 and 12. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So this week's message is about walking generously. And I set it up in this order because of the next scripture I'd like to share with you. Walking together, then walking generously. Matthew 5, 23 and 24 says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. So last week we spoke about unity for the sake of mission. Unity is evidence of pure worship. God isn't interested in our gifts, even if they are grateful gifts, thanking him for all that he's done for us, if there are still rifts among us. That's a powerful thought. We can't truly love a God we have not seen if we hate or harbor grievances against a brother or sister whom we have seen, who's right here with us. So reconciliation is that important to God. So once again, let's try to get right with one another as soon as possible, in as much as it's up to us for kingdom good. Now, most of you know that I'm a pretty enthusiastic person, entheos, in God, and I'm particularly enthusiastic and excited about this message today about generosity, because we serve a God who is both lavish and extravagant. Those are two words we don't hear a lot in church, maybe especially in a Fellowship Baptist church. We think that's overdoing it. But God himself is lavish and extravagant. And Christianity gives us opportunity to not be bichires. Anybody here from Venezuela? I think there are some from Venezuela. And you know exactly what a bichire is. Bichire is somebody who is cheap or stingy. We want to be the opposite of that. Our church, Central Baptist, has great values when it comes to giving. We are frugal, yes, but we are generous. We are good stewards, and we are effusively kind. But let's put our generosity through the God grid for a moment. How generous is God with us? Let me talk about how generous he is with nature. A couple of days ago, Marilyn and I had some meetings in Port Angeles. And we were crossing over the Juan de Fuca Strait during an autumn sunset. The light was gleaming off of snow-capped peaks. It was glittering on the white-capped waves. It was glistening on the whitewashed bow of the Coho. And all we could say was, wow. And how about life itself? The lavish and extravagant gift of life. Some of you have heard me say this before, but when I was a little boy, my mom was actually a nurse and a missionary, and she would tell me to do this. Everybody do this with me. She'd say, do this, Jordy. And she said, what are you experiencing? And I said, I could feel the blood pumping under my finger. And she said, yes, you're taking your pulse, but you're also experiencing grace. And then she would do this. Everybody do this with me. And she'd say, Jordy, what did you just experience? I said, I'm taking oxygen into my lungs. And she would say, yes, you're breathing, but you're also experiencing grace. And then my mom would say to me, what are you doing with the grace, Jordy? The grace of life, the grace of eternal life. What is the difference between Christianity and every other major world faith or religion? And Jay mentioned this, it's grace. We cannot earn God's generosity. He gives it to us because he loves us. Some of you may remember my brain surgery story. Here's a phrase you don't hear everyone say every day. I was just talking to my brain surgeon a few days ago. And I was. His name is Dr. Sammy, and he lives in Abu Dhabi, and we're very, very good friends. And he was reminding me that my head is covered in a titanium mesh on both sides with rivets holding my skull in place. You've just got to imagine that. You can't actually see it. He said, it's a miracle that you're alive. This is all grace. I didn't deserve to be saved, to be given more life, but here I am standing in the pulpit leveraging life for kingdom good. And I'm pretty excited about that. Two dear Canadian friends who live in Abu Dhabi, they're very involved with Ironman triathlons. And in the medical world, he's a top ER doc and she's an elite age grouper in triathlons. And they invested in a very, very high-end aero bike helmet, which I'm going to show you this morning. It's kind of wild. It's made by Oakley, for those of you who know sunglasses. Look at this thing. And they invested in this helmet. They helped walk me through my surgeries. And when I was in recovery, they said, we want you to have this because it's the most expensive helmet money can buy for brain protection. And then they just gave it to me. If you want to know how much it costs, come up and ask me after. It's crazy. I'm not even going to say it up here. But what a gift. They were generous. They were lavish with their kindness. If you want to crank up the volume on your relationship with God, it's not enough to accept the salvific message of the cross and then just sit down and wait for heaven. I believe, and the Bible teaches, that the good news of the cross, that the great news of the gospel includes mission. It's not just enough to accept the gospel, but instead to also overflow with it generously. Now, I want to see hands here. How many of you are involved in the business world? How many of you run a business or you're in business? Raise your hands. There's a lot of people in here that are in businesses, and we appreciate that. And one of the interesting things about running a business is if you run a business, you know that one of the number one rules in running a business is cash flow. You cannot sustain a business unless there is cash flow. Well, the kingdom work of God is sustained by blessings flow. I want to ask Central Baptist to do something a little courageous. It may feel a little Pentecostal, but that's okay. I want you all to do this. If you're willing, you don't have to, but if you're willing, you could do this. And sometimes, I wish again I could take a picture of this. Fellowship Baptist would be shocked. Here we are with our hands raised. But I've often asked my Pentecostal friends, why do you do that? They say we're praising the Lord. I'd like to suggest that as we do this, and maybe you've heard me say this before, we are funnels. Can everybody see the funnel? We are funnels of God's grace. You can put your arms down. That was beautiful to see you doing that. We are funnels of his grace. We are blessed to be a blessing. Let's turn in our Bibles to our scripture this morning. Thank you, Susan, again, for reading this to us. It's a powerful section. I would love you, if I can give you some homework, read this again at home. Have conversations about this passage of scripture, about generosity, because our dear pastors, Scott and Phil, they'll tell you, and Kevin, who preached up here, there's no way you can unpack this whole passage in one message. So let the Lord speak to you even in your own home. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 15, and it talks about generosity and missions. And I need to tell you, I wept when I read this passage just a few months ago. I'd been asked to prepare for this month. I was sitting in an airport between speaking engagements in Europe, and I was weeping because I know that the generosity of Central Baptist Church is reaping exponential kingdom benefits. Can we get an amen to that? By God's grace, this church is impacting locally and globally. We are experiencing what I call KROIs. If you're in business, you know what an ROI is, return on investment. But for Christ, in Christ's sake, we call them kingdom returns on investments, eternal dividends. Verse 6, let's look at verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's interesting, this principle is almost like anything else in life. You get what you put into it. You can be a slacker doing aerobics or working out, but if you have a Garmin watch, it'll tell you, are you really working or not? What about marriage, for instance? For years now, I've been asking Marilyn if she gets the first fruits of Jordan Rendell, or does she just get the doggy bag and the wilted flowers? Be generous with your spouse. Be generous with your kids. Be generous with your friends. I love our market days here at Central. An amazing team spends hundreds of hours organizing food donations so that lineups of people can receive generous, healthy nutrition. Now, the reaping in that scenario is that all of these people now know that Central Baptist cares about them. We're being generous on Pandora. Some of you remember my grandpa, Frank Rendell. Wave your hand if you remember Grandpa Frank Rendell. Amazing, amazing man. I lived with him when I was going to college, and he lived incredibly frugally. In fact, he would only ever buy day-old bread and food off the discount racks at the grocery stores. I was often wondering, why does he do this? But it wasn't because he was cheap, but so that, there's that phrase I like so much, so that he could pay for all of the dental needs of the Truong family who came as refugees from Vietnam in the 80s to our church. He was missional. And Grandpa always felt so honored being able to bless that precious family. And we thank God for the Truongs. I know some of you are watching and listening. Verse 7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's do another rehearsal here as Central Baptist. Can I get a smile rehearsal? Very, very good. That's what it feels like to give to God. We get to give to God. We don't have to give to God. We get to give to God. And I love that word in this verse, decided. Have you personally or as a family decided what you're giving to God? Marilyn and I, what we do, we often, if we get a request to donate something, we will pray together and we will just give each other a number. This is what I feel like the number. And almost every time it's the same number. How cool is that? When I moved from being a police officer to a missionary, my accountant said to me when he looked at my T4s, he said, are you mentally handicapped? Because my salary dropped significantly. It doesn't matter because as God told the Levites, I am your inheritance. But we used to give very generously when I was a policeman. And then I said to Marilyn, to my shame, I guess we're not going to be able to do that anymore. And do you know what Marilyn's response was? Why not? She has way more faith than I do. Have you decided what to give to Central financially? During almost every announcement time, Jen mentioned it, someone reminds us of the opportunities to contribute to the church, to give financially. Now, I'll warn you, this whole message is not about finances, but it's a pivotal piece. Now, you can do that by giving it an offering plate at the back, by mailing in or dropping off a check, or by regular giving online. Do we do this cheerfully or begrudgingly? Are you the Grinch? Or are you like Ebenezer Scrooge, asking, where do the offerings go anyway? Now, it's interesting and ironic that Charles Dickens named his miserly hero Ebenezer. I don't know if you've ever thought about that. That's a name used to describe the God who is faithful, the God who is generous. I used it to describe our church on our very first Sunday together. I said, we've experienced 100 years of Ebenezer faithfulness. God is faithful and generous to us. Do we reciprocate? He died for me, so I'll live for him. He died for me, so I will give to him through the church with an attitude of gratitude. By the way, if you are wondering where the offerings do go, there is plenty of transparency at Central. The answers are there. The documents are there. And if you want to have a say in financial decisions, become a member. Just saying. Verse 8, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, that's a lot of alls if you didn't catch that, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I have some very, very wealthy friends that the Lord has introduced me to, and they are people of high earning capacity, and I've challenged them with something. I said, God has blessed you so much with earning capacity, why don't you become reverse tithers? They said, what's a reverse tither? I said, give away 90% and live on 10. And it's been awesome to watch God favor them. And in fact, one of my friends lives on less than 5% of what he earns, and he gives all the rest away. We collectively have access to so many resources. After all, we serve the God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But I like to add, he actually owns the hills as well. Abundant, ample provision. We have the resources. The biggest challenge as a church is, are we allocating them well? That's what we need prayer for and discernment. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven. What a powerful phrase. And I will pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it all. Now, tithing is often described as the minimum we should give to the Lord. Biblically, the tithe is described as 10% of our earnings, whether that be our finances, our crops, our livestock. But statistically, the research says that the North American church, there are only 10% of people in the church who give 10% to the church or to other ministries like Youth for Christ. And that means that there are 90% of us who could do more. What have you decided to do? In our premarital counseling, Ernest Kennedy told us, from every paycheck, 10% to God, 10% to savings, and then God will help you budget the other 80% of your needs. Verse 9, as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. This is a powerful verse. It speaks about poverty. Poverty. Some people say, well, why bother? Because Jesus also said, the poor you always have with you. And that's because God wants to give us opportunities to bless them. Now, one of the greatest ways we can do that, one of the significant ways we're doing that this morning is through these precious, precious shoeboxes. I almost burst into tears. Again, it's why I'm not a cop anymore. Remember, I cried too much. Watching all of you file up here from the balcony and coming up with the shoeboxes, I was in tears because I've seen the other end. I've seen where these shoeboxes go. I've hosted the Christmas parties, the festivals where the children receive these shoeboxes. And as I said in one of the services, how much is a smile worth? It's so precious as these kids unpack things. I want to tell you a story related to Mexico and Venezuela. The story happened in both of these places almost at a similar time. We were doing one of these big parties and the kids were just festive and happy and the mothers were there. And I was standing back watching our staff and our volunteers distribute and watching all the fun going on. And I suddenly had this little epiphany where I realized, wait, where are the dads? And there were literally no dads there. And so I walked a few blocks away and I found most of the dads sitting in a restaurant, looking very, very despondent. And I told them who I was. I said, guys, I'm part of this thing going on over there with your families and your kids. Like, you're welcome to join us. And one of the men said to me in Spanish, ¿Para qué me quitaste mi rol? Why should I be there? You took away my role. And suddenly I had an epiphany again. I realized, wait a second. And I said, I'm so sorry. This dad went on to say, he said, we have nothing to give our children and you come in and act like a dad and give them stuff. What about us? One of the things we always want to do on mission is honor people's dignity. What do you think I did next year when we did Samaritan's Purse again, Samaritan's Box again? We gave the boxes to the dads so that they could give the boxes to their kids. And it was great because I was able to say, these boxes come from your heavenly father to your earthly father to your heart. Another story from Venezuela, we were giving these boxes away to kids who worked in a mine. They worked way down, kilometers under the ground. And when we called them out to this party, they came out with their eyes squinting because very rarely they go to school in the mine and everything. It's so deep. When they came out, their eyes were squinting. They couldn't even look into the light. And I realized what an incredible joy to bring them the light and love of God through a simple shoebox. So these shoeboxes are a simple investment, KROIs, but they have kingdom returns. One more investment story related to another organization that many of us support. One of the top pastors in Mexico today, and one of my very dearest friends, was a Compassion Child. I know many of you are sponsoring Compassion Kids. It's a beautiful investment. Let's go on to verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. I was right in the middle of a story that literally describes this verse. In the past few years, I've had the extraordinary privilege of serving with our Youth for Christ family in the beautiful country of Belarus, the country caught geographically and politically between Russia and the Ukraine. I spent 12 days just a few months ago in three major cities speaking to hundreds of teenagers in each one of these cities. One of the cities, Gomel, was near Chernobyl. We've all heard that name. I was told that I would be sleeping at a pastor's house and that he had a lot of kids. Fortunately, I love kids. When I met the precious pastor and his wife, they told me with big smiles on their Belarusian faces, we have 8 children. And I thought that's exactly what I need after days and days of speaking to hundreds of teenagers. Now, when I arrived at the house for a late supper after one of our meetings, I started to count. And there were a lot more than 8 kids in this house. And when I asked, am I counting right? They said, oh, yes, 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 we forgot to tell you. We've adopted 7 Ukrainian orphans. But that's a story. Only weeks before my arrival there, they had been driving near the border with Ukraine, and it was snowing, and they saw 7 children post-holing. You know what that is when you're digging into the snow? 7 children, the older ones were carrying the babies, and they were walking through the snow. They'd been walking for 2 days. looking for help. And 2 days before that, a bomb had landed on their home while all the kids were out playing in the snow, and mom and dad had been blitzed. And they saw this happen. And they'd been walking for 2 days. So this beautiful Belarusian pastor's wife just scooped them up, put them in their car, took them home. Now, these are the types of kids that Marilyn works with Youth Compass. Kids, so Ukraine has lost track of them. Belarus doesn't know they exist. It was a bomb that made them orphans. These kids are fitting through the cracks, but Jesus is catching them in the home of a pastor and his wife. And I got to meet them. And so now the church is leaning into verse 10. We need to supply some seed and bread for food to this family. And they've come around this family and they're standing with them. Hospitality. Now, hospitality has all kinds of levels on the continuum of hospitality. It could be adopting 7 Ukrainian refugees or just having someone over for supper. It's interesting, almost every time Marilyn and I have somebody over for supper, they say to us, nobody does this anymore. Or this is the first time that I've ever, you know, we hear this over and over again. Let's blow that up, Central Baptist. Let's have people over and into our lives for dinner. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, some of you might be sitting here this morning thinking, but I literally have nothing to give. I can barely pay my rent. I'm in debt. I just lost my job. I barely made it here this morning. Well, let me inspire you just a little bit. I spoke at a week-long teen conference in Sincelejo, Colombia. I mentioned it before. And one of the nights, we took up an offering for missions. Some of the leaders of the camp are skeptical. They're like, they don't have anything. What are they going to bring? What are they going to give? Incredibly, the teenagers contributed very generously. I happened to pass by the room where they were counting the offerings. And they were dumping out the offering plates. And I was just walking by. And suddenly, there was a hush in the room. And I stepped in and I was listening. And at first, it seemed like a joke to them or something odd. But what they found was in one of the offering plates, they found a picture, a photograph of a teenage girl that was at the camp. It was in the bowl, in the offering plate. And they thought, well, what's that about? And they turned it over and they looked on the back of it and it said, I have nothing to give but myself. Blessed to be a blessing. She literally wanted to be the blessing herself. Now that kind of generosity, like that, it's a real sign of a truly transformed and surrendered life. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Our gifts flow through this church to the world around us. The church is the agent of God that exponentially multiplies the favor of God to the world around us. An example of that is when the community around us at George J. and other places that our church touches, when they say, I'm so glad Central Baptist is here. That's one of my favorite metrics for are we doing what God has called us to do? That's because the world around us is feeling the blessings flow. Verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. I link that to the beautiful verse, if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. A lot of people relegate that verse to one salvific moment, but I like to suggest that that verse is a lifestyle verse. We need to keep on confessing. And one of the ways we do that is by being generous in our lifestyle. If we confess with our lives, the more our lives reflect and confess God's truth through our unity, there's that word again, and through our generosity, the more missional and effective we will be. Verse 14, and in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. And verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The indescribable gift is his grace given to us on the cross, and we want to reflect that. Some of you have heard me tell this story before. A little boy walks into a, a grocery store, one of those old-fashioned ones, with his mom, holding his mom's hand. He walks into the store. It's one of those old stores. They have the glass jars full of candies and a lid on it, a metal lid. And as they walked in, some of you are picturing that. You can remember those candy jars. And they walk in, and the store owner, the shop owner, takes the lid off, and he holds it out to the little boy, and he says, "Son, help yourself." And the little boy kind of acts sheepish and turns away. "Son, go ahead, help yourself." And he's sheepish again. And the store owner just reaches his hand in and fills the boy's hands. And the little boy says, "Thank you very much, sir." And he stuffs his pockets with all the candies, and he walks out of there with a big smile on his face. And then his mom, as they're walking out, says, "Son, what was that about?" And he said with a big grin on his face, "Mommy, his hands are so much bigger than mine. Do you want some?" Kids are smart. Ask Jen Wade. She'll tell you, kids are smart. Now, the first Sunday we were here, remember we did a little bit of this? And then we did a bit of this? Blessings flow. We can't receive unless our hands are open. So we're going to wrap up this service by talking through the hand. I want to see your hands. Can everybody hold your hands up like this? Give me a little wave. And I want to see how many of you have the sheets that Tina does so wonderfully for us every week. You have those sheets? Wave that sheet at me that's got a hand printed on the back. Some of you have that. If you don't have that, you can watch your neighbor work on those sheets, because we're going to fill those in right now. So we often say, what can I give back to God? Remember we talked about who washed Jesus' feet when he washed all the disciples' feet? One of the ways we can wash his feet is by reciprocating through gratitude and generosity back to God. Just like that teenage girl placing her own photo in the offering plate, what do we need to put in the plate? That's what the rest of this message is about. Now, in this plate, I put a photo of my family. By the way, if you want one of these, so you can pray for us. If you put it on your fridge, the more you eat, the more we get prayed for. We would love that. But I deliberately, this isn't just for show and just for a sermon. This is a powerful thought for me as I put my family's photo into the offering plate. And so I want to unpack five things we can give to God. Are you ready? The first one, and as you hold up fingers if you want to join me. The first one, the pinky fingers, we give him our time. We give him our time. Every one of us has the same amount of time, by the way. Billy Graham had the same amount of time as any of us in here. What did he do with his time? What are we doing with our time? As my mom said, what are you doing with the grace, Jordy? Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. We need to be wise in the usage of time. So let me start by asking us, how much time do we give back to him? Obviously, he owns all of it, every beat of our heart, every breath we breathe. But do you take time to read his word, to let him talk to you through his word, to talk to him in prayer and to listen to him? Do we even give him, think about this, 10% of our time? Now, there are many of you in this church already doing that. You're giving to the Lord regularly with your time. We think of the market. Some of you spend a few days a week with our refugee families that we've sponsored. That does not go unnoticed by God or by us as a church. Your dedication is convicting and beautiful. What are you doing with your time? The second finger, the ring finger, is talent. Remember the beautiful parable about the talents in Matthew 25? In that era, a talent was a type of currency, like a dollar or a euro or a peso. But it's a parable by Jesus about using our gifts as blessings for others versus selfishly hanging on to them and not sharing them. Jay could be captaining somebody's yacht, but instead, he's captaining a wonderful ship that is loving on people all over the world. He's leveraging his talent. Today we describe a talent as a natural ability that's developed through practice. By the way, I'll warn you, my daughter Jolynn has that with three-point shots in basketball. Don't play against her, you'll lose. But it can be leveraged as even a spiritual gift in a community when it's anointed, when it's imbued with the power of the Holy Spirit. My son Josh, who's an amazing soccer, football player, he's felt that sometimes when he gets onto the pitch. My son Jordy studied theater at Trinity Western University. At the end of a play where he had a very dramatic leading role in it, where he was a returning soldier from a war, he was engaged, and his fiancée abandoned him and left him even after he came back because he had an epileptic seizure in front of her. And that was the end of the drama, the end of the play, Jordy having an epileptic seizure on stage. The lights dimmed, and then the lights came on, Jordy stood up. Nobody moved. Nobody clapped. They were all stunned by the power of the message and the performance. The head of the drama department came up to him, put his hands on his shoulders, and looked him in the eye and said, "Young man, you have a gift. Are you using your gifts and your talents that the Lord has given you?" What's the first one? Time, talent. The third one, and you've heard messages on this before, but I'm going to give you two. You might not have heard it before. The third one is treasure. Matthew 6, 19 to 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Wow. There will your heart be also. What a powerful thought that is. Where is my heart today? God, we thank you for working in and through our hearts. This verse doesn't say that earthly treasure is worthless. It can be stewarded well for kingdom blessings. Let me tell you a story about leveraging earthly treasure for heavenly gain, and it's about cows. Some of you are saying, how are you going to connect those dots? We have some very dear friends who are dairy farmers in Aldergrove. They've been giving to our ministry support for many years. And my daughters, when they were little girls, said, "Daddy, can we go see a dairy farm? How do they milk the cows?" And this was a big operation with hundreds and hundreds of cows. And so I called my friends and said, "Hey, can we come by just for a little bit to show my girls what a dairy farm operating looks like?" And they said, "Well, it's busy, but yeah, stay out of the way." So we came, we spent about an hour, and then we had to go. So I approached my friends. I said, "Can we just get 2 minutes of your time?" And they're wearing their coveralls, and there's a lot of activity going on. And they said, 2 minutes. "Well, that's all we can give you. 2 minutes. So they just stopped and we huddled and I prayed for them. And this is what I prayed. "Dear Jesus, thank you for my dear friends. Thank you for their ministry here at this dairy farm. And God, I thank you for these cows. We know that the more milk they produce, the more teenagers will hear the gospel. So bless these cows, favor their udders, and God, do something magnificent through these cows." When I opened my eyes, this precious couple, they were sobbing. And I apologized. I said, "I'm so sorry. What happened?" They said, "Nobody's ever prayed for our cows like that before." But they were leveraging the treasure. Speaking of treasure, is anyone else here excited about Christmas? Very good, very good. I mean, Christmas is the reminder of what Jesus did for us, how the whole story starts. And I love that. One of our Rendell family traditions every year is to watch It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody here watch It's a Wonderful Life? We watch it every year. Now, I love one of the closing scenes when Harry Bailey comes back from the war. He's into a room full of people and he says, "To my big brother, George Bailey, the richest man in town." Why does he say that? Because George had so many friends. And why did George have so many friends? Because he literally invested in them all. A challenge to each of us. Now, by God's grace, many of you have been to our home here in Victoria. Our house is on a beautiful street right near the ocean. We always like to say our house is on the cheap side of the street, not on the water. And it's our greatest delight to use it for ministry. We've had youth groups over from all over the city. We've had young adults groups. We've had dinners, family events, weddings, receptions, leveraging God's generosity to us in our 7 years of plenty when I was a Saanich police officer. And we're leveraging it for kingdom good. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus told? It was started by a lawyer who asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus would say to us this Christmas, start with your literal neighbor down the hall in your apartment building or across the fence from your yard. We have our neighbors over every Christmas for delectable goodies and the kind of carol sings that tell the gospel story. And Jesus asks us today, are you being generous with the gospel? Do your neighbors know that Jesus loved them? It's low-hanging fruit. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't need a passport, a boarding pass. They're right there. Let's review real quick. Time, talent, treasure. The next one, maybe you've never heard before, is testimony. Testimony. Or what I call theostimony. Theos means God. What's your God story? Which direction does your life point in? Which way do your prayers point? In Muslim hotels and airlines, they always show us where Mecca is with a Qibla pointer or a Qibla indicator. My dad taught me more about prayer than probably anyone else in my life. To this day, he's always willing to pray for anyone, anywhere, anytime, and that's part of his theostimony, a clear and present dependence on God. So if I'm standing here at the front of the church right now and I suddenly do this, what do you want to do? You want to look up. If I'm on a busy beach and I look up, everybody starts looking up. What are you looking at? Who are you looking to? Where does your testimony point? When your life testimony is pointing well, you're working on your marriage, you're working with your kids, you're working in the community, and again, I mentioned this before, we're all at different levels of dysfunction, but we're working on it. People are going to see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven, because you can immediately say, it's not about me, it's about His grace. So let's review. Time, talent, treasure, testimony, and the last one. Are you ready? This is the thumbs up one. This is one you've probably never heard of before. We rarely hear sermons about this, but I'm going to go there because we're talking about generosity, we're talking about stewardship. What do you think the last T is? We already did time, talent, treasure, testimony. The fifth one, what are our bodies called in Scripture? The temple or the tent? If you are not looking after this, you cannot give Him time, talent, treasure, testimony. We are not disembodied souls, we are bodied souls. Remember, every breath we breathe, every beat of our hearts. Marilyn and I recently, I may have mentioned this before, we're trying to age well and act our age. And there's a wonderful verse that says, see then that you walk circumspectly. There it is again, walk. I want to give you a little outline if you're taking notes. This is the outline about looking after your tent or temple, and we could talk more about this some other time. But the outline is sleep, eat, exercise. We need to sleep well. We need to eat properly. We need to exercise. And by exercise, I mean just move. Just walk. But it's interesting about eating. Sometimes we worry a lot about what we eat, but eating patterns. One of the best ways to slow down and to eat carefully and well is hospitality. You don't rush a dinner with friends over. Babies are a wonderful gift for this. You can't rush a baby eating, can you? Everything slows down, even if you're trying choo-choo trains on a spoon. It just slows right down. Just a little pointer from a guy who does Ironman races. Don't skip breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day. Some of you are going, yeah, there you go. Well, here's we're supposed to be more and more like Jesus all the time. Remember after his resurrection, he was by the side of the lake frying up some fish for what meal? Breakfast. Walk on water. Together, walk generously at the pace of love, slow down. This is convicting for me because I sometimes depict a very frenzied life, hair on fire Christianity. I've been begging God to slow me down, help me to slow down. I once had a team member say to me, Jordan, we love your leadership, we love working with you, but you know what? We're going to catch you on the next lap. Ouch. Because I wanted to work together as a team. So let's close by thanking God for his generosity to us. Grace extended from the cross and the grace of the gift of the Holy Spirit who empowers us to go on mission. We can thank him for patience. A wonderful old police chorus. How many of you remember the police choir? I was in that for years, and there was a great old song we used to sing. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Are we thankful for that? We walk on water. We walk together. We walk generously. And next week, we're going to talk about walking on, about stamina and resilience in the Christian life. I want you to look at your fingerprints for a moment. Look at your fingerprints. As a cop, these were always very interesting to me. Next week, we're going to talk about what does God want us to get our kingdom fingerprints on as part of this great adventure we call mission. And let me close by asking, just reminding you, what do you need to put in the offering plate? Be encouraged, and God bless you.
We want to take a moment to thank you for listening, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings in person or online. For more information about who we are and what's happening at the church, visit us online at centralbaptistchurch.ca. Thanks for listening to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast.